Okay, so we really explored that earlier issue of the fact that most communities were davening Maariv early and therefore saying Shema early. We're going to move on to the next thing. Before we do, let's just remind ourselves of the Mishnah. The Mishnah cited three opinions. All of them agreed upon the start time of Shema, presumably. But they disagreed upon the latest time that one is permitted to recite the nighttime Shema. According to the first opinion, Ad Sof HaShmura HaRishona, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's on the third line of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is that one may recite Shema at night from nightfall until the end of the first shift of the Kohanim. The Chachamim Omrim, the rabbis say, Ad Chatzot, until midnight. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Ad She'ya'ale Amud HaShachar. Rabban Gamliel cites a third opinion, and that is that you may recite Shema until the very beginning of sunrise, until the sun begins, until, what was the word you used, Daniel? Dawn. Thank you, dawn. Until dawn. Okay. When we're going to skip the story, we'll get back to the story a little bit later. The Gemara then asks a question, where I underline the Gemara. Tana Heicha Kai, the Ksani Meimasai. Where is the Mishnah starting from that it begins with the question, Meimatai, from when? That's what Meimatai means. Meaning, it's kind of funny, and we discussed this the very first day we read the Mishnah. It's kind of funny that the Mishnah should begin with the question of what is the proper time to say Shema. As opposed, this is the very first Mishnah in all of the Talmud. If it was going to discuss Shema, perhaps it would have been appropriate to at least tell us there was a mitzvah of Shema. So where does it get this whole idea that there's a mitzvah of Shema? It never told us. It begins immediately by asking, what time is Shema? That's what Rashi explains on the right where I underline. Meheicha kaselik tana beichovas kriyas Shema, shehizchilushol kan zman kriya. Where does it know, that, where does the Mishnah know from that there is an obligation to recite Shema that it just assumes it and begins with the question of the time of Shema? Visu. So now we're back in the Gemara, the second word on the second underlined line. The two, and furthermore, my shna detani be'arvit bereisha, leis de b'shacharis bereisha. The second question the Gemara asks is, why does the Mishnah first teach about the nighttime Shema? Wouldn't it have been more appropriate to teach the morning Shema first? After all, we live our life from morning to night. So it really would have been appropriate to teach the morning Shema first. So the Gemara has two questions about the Mishnah. First question is, how does it just begin with the time for Shema? And why doesn't it start with, explaining that there is such an obligation to recite Shema in the first place? And the second question, why does it begin with the nighttime Shema and not with the morning Shema, which is how we live our life? The first answer, so the Gemara is going to give us two answers. The first answer, is Tana. Well, first of all, it says Tana Akra Kai. Tana Akra Kai means that the Mishnah was basing itself on the Pesukim. Kra means Mikra. Mikra is the Torah. The Mishnah was basing itself on the Torah. That answers both questions. First, it answers, how does the Mishnah know that you have a mitzvah to say Shema? Well, as Rabbi Yehuda Brandis is a Talmud teacher in Israel, in Beit Morasha, and he has a whole long book on this chapter, but in one of his essays, he points out that this is actually very important, that's the very first question in all of the Talmud. Tana Akra Kai is really the explanation of the whole oral tradition, that the Mishnah bases itself on the Torah, that we based ourselves on the written Torah, and the Midrashim and the Mishnah and the entire oral tradition is Akra Kai. It all stands upon the written Torah. So first, it answers how the Mishnah knows that there is such a mitzvah to say Shema, because the Torah says so. And this really sets the stage for the rest of the whole Talmud, because we don't need, if the Torah says there's a mitzvah, the Mishnah doesn't have to repeat and tell us there is a mitzvah. When Maimonides wrote his Mishnah Torah, he wanted to have one book that had everything in it, you didn't have to read anything else. So for him, he would tell you there's a mitzvah to say Shema. But the Mishnah and the Talmud, they don't have to tell us that. They assume, based on the Torah, that there is such a mitzvah. That's Tana Akra Kai. But which pasuk? Which pasuk? So Tana Akra Kai also answers the second question. It's going to tell us, the Gemara is going to tell us, that based on the pasuk, the Mishnah chose to teach the nighttime Shema before the daytime Shema. Which pasuk? Two opinions. Dichsiv, we're now on the fourth underlined line, the first word. Dichsiv, Beshachbecha, Uvkumecha. Right? The line in the Shema that we recite is Beshachbecha, Uvkumecha. What's first? Beshachbecha. When you go, Beshachbecha means when you lie down, Uvkumecha means when you get up. So, first, Beshachbecha. And then, Bekumecha. First, with the Shema that when you lie down. Then, the Shema when you get up. So that's why, according to the first opinion, that's why the Mishnah first teaches the nighttime Shema, and then the morning Shema. We didn't get to the morning Shema. That'll be much, much later. It might be a while before we get there. But that's why the Mishnah first teaches the nighttime Shema. V'hachi k'tani zman kriyat Shema v'shkiva. Here, the Mishnah teaches us the time for Shema of lying down. Eimat misha'asha kohanim nechnasim lechol b'trumatan. Namely, people generally go to sleep from the time that the kohanim eat their truma, which we know to be nightfall. We're going to discuss in a future class why the Mishnah keeps on talking about, it's really, I'll tell you a bit, the simplest answer. Misha'asha kohanim, why does the Mishnah keep on saying, talking about kohanim ochlim etrumatan, and doesn't just say tzeita kohavim? The answer is that the Mishnah doesn't have the word tzeita kohavim. That language doesn't exist in any Tanetic source. Meaning that tzeita kohavim is a later explanation of various times that exist in the Jewish life cycle. But in terms of having a set time, the Mishnah wouldn't say tzeita kohavim. It uses a language that refers to something that people are familiar with. Namely, everybody, presumably people knew kohanim. Kohanim lived all over the place, and they would, you know, they would go to the temple when it was their turn to go to the temple. But people would know kohanim, and they would know approximately the time that kohanim would eat the truma, because everybody saw that happen. So that was a more that was kind of the time that they used as the marker. They didn't know tzeisa kohavim. Okay. The Gemara later is going to tell us that it teaches something else also. That'll be the next class. But namely, it teaches us the nighttime Shema, namely nightfall, which is when people generally go to sleep. Not anymore, obviously, but in those days when it got dark, you went to sleep. Okay. That's the first opinion. Fibais Ema. So now we're in the middle of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The sixth or seventh line, the middle, the first word in the line is Nichnasim. The middle of the line, Veibais Ema. Alternatively, that's what Veibais Ema means, alternatively, Yalif Mibriato Shel Olam. Perhaps the Mishnah decided to include the nighttime Shema before the daytime Shema, in that order, because of the order of the creation of the universe. Dechsiv, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, Yom Echad. Because when God created the universe, he said that it was night and it was day, one day, the first day. So night comes before day. Ihachi, if so, We're just going to finish the Gemara. We're going to go back to those two verses momentarily, but let's just finish the Gemara. Ihachi, if so, if it's true that the Mishnah was basing itself on a verse, either the first verse, Pashach Bechav Kumecha, or the second verse, Vayihi Erev Vayihi Bokir Yom Echad. Either way. Ihachi, Seifa, Deksani B'Shachar Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneh Ve'achas La'acharea. Uverev Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneh Ve'achas La'acharea. Leisnei De'arvis Bereisha. If it's true that the Mishnah was basing itself on the verse, then the whole order of the Mishnah ought to have been nighttime Shema, daytime Shema. So the background here is that the order of the Mishnayot, I could have included a page with all the Mishnayot, but the order of the Mishnayot is first it talks about the nighttime Shema, then the daytime Shema. Then it goes into the details of the daytime Shema, and then it goes back and goes into the details of the nighttime Shema. So the Gemara says, so why didn't it do everything in the same order? Why didn't it do nighttime Shema, daytime Shema, then details of nighttime Shema and details of daytime Shema? That's the Gemara's question. It has a simple answer. Tana patach be'arvit v'hadar tani b'shacharit. First, the Mishnah opened with a nighttime Shema, because that's the order of the verses. Whether it's b'shach b'cha of kumecha, whether it's v'ayher of v'ayhi boker, either way. Then it taught them daytime Shema. Adekai b'shacharit parish mili d'shacharit. And then, while it was already talking about the Shacharis, the daytime, the morning Shema, then the Mishnah expounded upon the daytime Shema, realizing that it has to now expound upon the nighttime Shema, Hadar Parish Milei De'Arvis. It returned, and then explained the details of the nighttime Shema. Okay? So to sum up the Sugya and the Gemara, the Talmud itself, the Talmud had two questions at the beginning. One, how does the Mishnah even know that there is such a mitzvah to say Shema? Why? What is it talking about? It just assume that we know something. And number two, why is it nighttime and then morning, and not morning and then nighttime? How did it decide the order by which to teach us the Shema? So the answer was, first of all, it's all from the Psukim. It's all from the Torah. The Torah says there's a mitzvah to say Shema. The Mishnah doesn't have to come back and teach us again, there's a mitzvah to say Shema. We all know that already. And then, the verses also teach us that nighttime should come before daytime. There were two potential verses for that. Either the verse from the Shema itself, B'shach b'chov kumecha, you should say Shema when you lie down, when you get up. Lying down comes before getting up in the verse. Or, when God created the world, Vayihi erev vayihi boker yom echad. And it was night, and it was day, the first day. Night came before day. Either way, the Gemara then asks a pedagogical question, or just a stylistic question as to why the Mishnah didn't just stick to that same order. Night, day, night, day. And the answer was that it's what you might call a chiastic structure, an ABBA format, meaning that first the Mishnah spoke about the nighttime Shema, then the daytime Shema. Then while it's already on the daytime Shema, it went into those details, and then went back into the details of the nighttime Shema. That's the whole Gemara. My question is, which pasuk, what we're going to dwell on, is which of the two psukim makes more sense? Do you think the Mishnah got it from B'shach B'cha of Kumecha? Or do you think it got it from Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Echad? And if so, what's the difference? I would like to suggest that B'shach B'chov Kumecha and Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker represent two completely different ways of viewing the proper time to say Shema. In fact, skip a few pages to where it's the where you see page 4A. 4A. I realized I had to include this Mishnah very late, and I photocopied it just now before Shachar's. But this Mishnah really has to be here. How do we know the times to say Shema to begin with? It's a debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Look at the bottom here on 4a, it's a Mishnah. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ba'erev Kol Adam Yateve Yikra, Uvabokir Ya'amod, She'ne Emar Uvishach Becha Uvkumech. According to Beit Shammai, the nighttime Shema has to be said lying down, and the daytime Shema has to be said standing up. Because, Vishach Becha Uvkumecha. Literally, when you lie down and when you stand up. So when you say the nighttime Shema, you have to lie down. When you say the daytime Shema, you have to stand up. Beit Hillel says, Uveit Hillel Omrim, Kol Adam Korek Darko. Beit Hillel disagrees and says, you're allowed to read it any way you like. Any way you like. Sitting down, standing up, lying down, whatever. If so, why Shenemar Uvelachtecha Vaderech? Because after Vashach Bechav Kamecha Uvelachtecha Vaderech. Uvelachtecha Vaderech means any which way you go. Whenever, whichever way you go. Im kein, if so, lama ne'emar uvishach b'chav kumecha. If so, according to Beit Hillel, why does it even say b'shach b'chav kumecha? It should have just said uvelachtecha v'derech. When you go on your way. What's the point of the lying down and standing up? The answer, b'sha'ah shebnei adam shochavim uvisha'ah shebnei adam omdim. What Beit Hillel says, the verse means, is the time that people lie down and the time that people get up. Okay? That's already a midrash also in the Sifra. The midrash says that. Time that people get lie down and the time that people get up. What time do people lie down? At night. What time do people get up? In the morning. Okay. Now let's go back to the beginning. I would like to suggest that these two verses that are introduced in the Gemara are two different ways of interpreting Beit Hillel. You see, if the whole Mishnah derives the times of Shema based on B'shoch Becha of Kumecha, then what Beit Hillel means to say, well, let's do it the other way. According to the simple interpretation of Beit Hillel, is that it means, B'sha'ah shebnei adam shochvim, the time that people lie down, means the night. That means that the proper time to say Shema is defined by how we define nighttime. Right? If we define nighttime from nightfall, then that's the proper time to say Shema. But if the whole thing is derived from and that's vayhi erev vayhi boker yom echad, when the night and the day. But if the whole thing is derived from b'shach b'cha of kubecha, perhaps Beit Hillel is saying something else. And they're saying that it's actually a sociological statement. B'sha'ah shebnei adam shochvim. The proper time to say the nighttime Shema is the time that people go to sleep. So one could, you know, make a survey and find out what time do most people go to sleep. Perhaps in the days of the Mishnah that happened to coincide with nightfall. But if the whole thing is based on B'shach Becha of Kumecha and not by Yerev Vayhi Boker, then it's not defined by the astronomical time, by the fact that it's night or the fact that it's day, but rather it's defined by the time that most people generally go to sleep and the time that most people generally wake up. Yeah?
Why most people, if the Torah is saying when you...
Oh, that's a great question. We'll get there soon. Okay. So now let's go back and try to figure out, based on the Mishnah, what do we think? Do we think that the Shema, the time for saying Shema, ought to be defined by the astronomical time, by the fact that it's night, or the fact that it's day? Or do we think that the Shema ought to be defined by a sociological survey of when people go to sleep and when people get up? So we had three opinions in the Shema. We had three opinions in the Mishnah. We're going to begin with the first pasuk, b'shach b'cha of kumecha, when you go to sleep. So, I would say that Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim make a lot of sense with B'shochbecha, with the sociological survey. When do most people go to sleep? Right? Rabbi Eliezer says that you're allowed to recite Shema from nightfall until the end of the first shift of the Kohanim, which is a couple hours into the night. So most people, presumably, certainly in days of the Mishnah, would go to sleep. Either when it got dark or a few hours later. That's when most people went to sleep. Maybe even Chachamim, you know, Chachamim say until midnight. Most people go to sleep, you know, sometime between nightfall and midnight. That's the normal time to go to sleep. Right, that makes sense. But what about the third opinion of Rabban Gamliel? Do you think that the Rabban Gamliel opinion makes sense with the time that people go to sleep? Could we interpret Rabban Gamliel, the third opinion in the Mishnah? What do you mean his b'shach b'cha could be later?
In other words, I
mean, some people go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm caught up in the daylight, Eastern Standard Time. Right? It's 4:15 tonight. What does b'shach b'cha mean? In a society that didn't have outside lamps, the assumption was that at some point earlier in the evening, people would go to sleep.
Right.
And so the halacha defined b'shach b'cha, or the Torah declared that b'shach b'cha would be norms in which people would go to sleep.
Right, but how does Rabban Gamliel understand that? So Rabbi Bamzer is pointing out that perhaps Rabban Gamliel opens it up and says it's not a sociological survey of when people go to sleep, but if you might go to sleep a little, Rabban Gamliel, perhaps, you know, perhaps Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are of the opinion that it goes by the general population. Whenever most people go to sleep, that's when everybody has to say Shema. But perhaps Rabban Gamliel says no, it's an individual situation. Right? Most people go to sleep. People go to sleep at some point during the night, and whenever you happen to go to sleep, that's when you have to say Shema. Maybe that's what Rabban Gamliel is really saying. No, all night is the proper time for the Shema. Ad alot ha-shachar, until dawn. Because you, an individual, might be going to sleep much later than other people. That's what the Ramban says in the Milchamos Hashem. The Ramban, it was too long, so I don't want to include it. We get bogged down and everything, as is common in the Milchamos Hashem. But in the Milchamos, the Ramban says that Rabban Gamliel's opinion is an individualized opinion. He says that it's not that it's b'shach b'cha, b'sha'ah shekol, when the time that any individual goes to sleep. So Rabban Gamliel opens it up. I would like to suggest another possibility for Rabban Gamliel. And that's found in Rashi on page 2. Look at the underlined Rashi on the right-hand side. this is a Rashi that's about the Gemara here, which is on page Daftet, which is in a long, long time from now. The Gemara goes back to the Mishnah and discusses the story. If you remember the story of Rabban Gamliel's sons that returned from a party very late and asked their father, "Father, can we still recite the Shema?" And he said he can recite it until dawn. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a great question about the story. Look at the Gemara in the middle first. Ma'aseh. You see where the underlined Gemara right on top? Ma'aseh shebao benav. Vad hashta lo shmiya lahu. Hadar Rabban Gamliel? Rabban Gamliel's sons, until now, until they came back from this party, their father never told him his opinion about saying Shema? They're his sons. They grew up learning Torah with their father. How could they not know his opinion that you could say Shema until dawn? Hachi Ka'amrele. This is what he said. Rather, Hachi Ka'amrele. This is what his sons said to him. Rabbanan pligiluch v'yachid v'rabim alocha karabim odilma Rabbanan kevasach zvior alahu v'haydikam re'al chatzos kedei laharcha gadam in ha'aveira. His sons weren't asking him, Dad, are we still allowed to say Shema? Rather, they were asking him, Father, are you in agreement with the rabbis? Did the rabbis agree with you, or did the rabbis disagree with you? If you recall, the rabbis are of the opinion, Chachamim, the rabbis, are of the opinion that you can say Shema until midnight. And then Rabban Gamliel says you can say Shema until dawn. So his sons asked him, Father, we know your opinion is that you can say it until dawn, but we know that halacha always follows the majority. Yachid ve'rabim, halacha ke'rabim. A minority and a majority, or a singular view and a majority view, the halacha follows the majority view. So did the rabbis disagree with you, and therefore we can't say Shema anymore because it's past midnight? Or did the rabbis really agree with you, but only said that you should say it by midnight in order to avoid the possibility that you might forget to say Shema? So that's really what they're asking. We'll get back to this later. I don't want to dwell on this. But Rashi here comments. Look at the Rashi. Rabba Klomar, mi pligi rabbanan alayich tehad amar amre ad chatzos dafka ke amre, delo mashmalahu v'shoch becha, kolzman shkiva, ela kolzman shederech b'nei adam, lehit asik leilach v'lishka. Rashi explains that the rabbis who said until midnight, when they read b'shoch becha, they read it as the time that people go to sleep. Oskin, what is it? What's the language? Lehit asek v'leilech v'lishkav. When they are working on those things, doing those things, those actions that are involved with going to sleep. Maybe they're brushing their teeth out or whatever they do before they go to sleep. Umiyu behapligi ad the Rabbi Eliezer. Dilu Rabbi Eliezer sfira leizman esek shkiva eino ela ad ashmura rishona. And that's the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer thinks that most people do all of their bedtime preparations between nightfall and the first shift of the Kohanim, a few hours into the night. And the rabbis think that most people do their preparations between nighttime and between nightfall and midnight. Ve'at sviralach uveshach becha. Rabban Gamliel still reads it uveshach becha, but he says that it's proper to say Shema the whole time that people are asleep. Meaning it's not the time that you go to sleep, but the time that you are asleep. So unlike the Ramban, right? The Ramban said that it's not a sociological, a general sociological statement that most people go to sleep at a certain time. The Ramban said that Rabban Gamliel holds that it's a personal b'shach becha. But Rashi says that Rabban Gamliel does not hold of a personal b'shach becha. He still holds of a sociological b'shach becha. When do most people go to sleep? But whereas the rabbis and Rabbi Eliezer were of the opinion that it has to do with the time that people do the actions of going to sleep, Rabban Gamliel holds that uveshach becha means the time that most people are asleep. And that's the nightfall. That's the whole nighttime until dawn. That's when most people are asleep. Okay. So now we've shown how all three opinions, can base themselves on that first verse, uveshach becha uvkumecha. What about vayhi erev, vayhi boker, yom echad? What if we say, no, it has nothing to do with what time people go to sleep and what time people get up. It has to do with the definition of morning and night. Right? When the Shema has to be said at night and in the morning, it's not a sociological statement of what time people go to sleep and what time they're awake, but rather it's a statement of what time do we define night and what time do we define as morning. So, Rabban Gamliel now Rabban Gamliel becomes the easy opinion to understand, right? Rabban Gamliel says, what time is the night? Well, when it's night. That's the night. But how could the Gemara say that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are talking about Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, Yom Echad? Right? Rabbi Eliezer says that the proper time to say Shema ends a few hours into the night, and the Chachamim say it ends at midnight. So how could they possibly have derived that from Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker, Yom Echad, from night and day? How could those be definitions of night? So, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, blessed memory, his style of studying Talmud, which is really what we're doing here, was, in this particular class today, is that you have to show how every opinion could be interpreted in every possible way. And so he suggested two sources to explain how Rabbi Eliezer and the rabbis, the Chachamim, could hold that the night actually ends when they say the time for the Shema ends. We'll begin with Rabbi, with the Chachamim. The Chachamim say until midnight. So we're back on page 2. He said, Rav Lichtenstein points out that there are several halachot where we define night as being until midnight. Take a look here at the second underlined portion on page 2. The Tanya, there's a brisa. V'achlu et habasar b'layla hazeh. This is about the Korban Pesach. When you sheft the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, when they would slaughter the Paschal sacrifice, they had to eat it b'layla hazeh, on this night. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, ne'emar kan b'layla hazeh, v'ne'emar lehalan v'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. And it says later on that God passed, you know, went through all the houses of the people through Egypt, b'layla hazeh, on this night. Ma lehalan ab chatzot, avkan ab chatzot. Just as one was until midnight, so too here is until midnight. Meaning you have to eat, the halacha is that you have to eat the Paschal sacrifice by midnight. That's why many people are particular to make sure that at their Seder, the Afikoman gets eaten before midnight. If you don't have that practice, you should adopt it to make sure the Seder doesn't last, you know, so long. It's a good, we got to finish by before midnight, you know. but that's the halacha. And so, that is halayla hazeh in the Torah. So when the Torah said layla, in that case, it was referring to until midnight. So perhaps the chachamim, it's a little bit of a stretch, but perhaps the rabbis in defining night say that it's a smaller definition of night, and it has to do with the fact that night can be defined as only until midnight. What about Rabbi Eliezer? How could you say that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that the nighttime Shema may only be said until a couple hours into the night, when the first, about a third of the way into the night, when the first shift of the Kohanim would be over. How could that be his definition of night? So Rav Lichtenstein is very creative. And he points to the rules of the Truma Sadeshen. The Truma Sadeshen was part of the service in the temple, but it was basically the janitorial work in the temple. It was when they would clean off the altar. That's what they would do. They would brush off everything off the altar. That was the Truma Sadeshen. And so, just like here, you know, I think I used this example last week, but when you do janitorial work, you could view it, you know, when you clean up, there's two ways of viewing it. Cleaning up is cleaning up the end. We had people over Friday night for dinner. So and we cleaned up afterwards. Was cleaning up the end of the Friday night dinner, or was it in preparation for the next meal that was going to take place on that very same table? Right? Do you have to clean up after you do something, or is cleaning up just in preparation for the next thing? Well, that there's some debate about that, because there's some people that are very, very particular about cleanliness and orderliness, and so for those people, it would drive them for those particular people. Let's say they had Shabbos lunch, and the whole table is full of these dirty plates. My mother, my aunt, her whole family, it would drive them nuts to have those plates on the table for the rest of Shabbat. They would have to, by the halacha, it would be proper for them to clean up after that meal, because for them, they wouldn't be able to enjoy, it's for their own enjoyment of Shabbat to clean up the rest of the meal. So is Truma Tadeshin the end of the previous service or the beginning of the next service? Right? That's the question. Here we don't have that question because the janitors come on Monday and on Friday. So on Monday they clean up from Shabbos, on Friday they prepare for the next one. So we don't have that. That's why we do it. So we don't have the machloket. Yeah. It could be, but the truma. So if you take a look at the Gemara here on page 3 in Zvachim, it's talking about the truma sedeshen. Amar Rabbi, the underlined portion. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If he sanctified his hands and feet, namely washed his hands and feet, the Kohen, in the temple, everything, even the janitorial work was holy. So they have to wash your hands and feet before you did that, the Truma Sadeshin. If a Kohen washed his hands and feet at night, it was done. The Truma Sadeshin was done at night. In preparation for the Truma Sadeshin, Lemachar Eino Tzarich LeKadesh. The next morning, that same Kohen who's going to go do a service doesn't have to wash his hands and feet again, because he already washed his hands and feet at the beginning of this day's work. What does that imply? The Truma Sedeshin is preparation for the next day's work. That's what Rashi comments on the bottom. Mitchilat avoda, shezo tchilat avoda, avodat yomhu. The Truma Sedeshin is the beginning of the next day's work. It's funny. Yeah. When did the Truma Sedeshin take place? After the first shift of the Kohanim. That was the earliest they would start Truma Sedeshin. They would clean up after HaShmurah HaRishona, after the first shift. So in the temple, the next day, really, the next day's work, in a certain sense, began after the first shift of the Kohanim. Which means that the night, as attached to the previous day, ends with the first shift of the Kohanim. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein suggests that perhaps Rabbi Eliezer is very tied to the temple schedule, to the schedule in the Beis HaMikdash. And for Rabbi Eliezer, if you were to interpret it as Vayera Vayboker, as the fine night and the fine day, perhaps he would say that night is really only defined as until the first shift of the Kohanim. It's a stretch. Yeah.
By the end of the first shift, about
4 hours. A third of the way to the night. 4 hours into the night. A third of the way. Okay. Yeah.
I think it was mentioning that the Mincha was based on something that took place.
Yeah, that's the end of the Mincha. That's the end of the Mincha of the temple.
And that was sort of like the beginning of night, sort of.
That's true.
So based on that, if you're already basing it on based on Mikdash, the times, then why wouldn't that be the beginning of?
That's a good question. I mean, this is a stretch. This is Rav Lichtenstein who was trying to explain how Rabbi Eliezer could possibly. No, you're right. That's a good question. Okay. So far we've now looked at all three opinions in the Mishnah and shown how all three could be read, potentially, as either Shema needs to be said at night, however we define night, or Shema needs to be said when people go to sleep, whenever that may be. Now, the truth is that I would argue that that actually might very well be the source of their disagreement. Perhaps that's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim, and Rabban Gamliel disagree about. That's what I would argue. I would argue that Rabban Gamliel, who holds you could say Shema all night, he says Shema needs to be said at night. Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, on the other hand, they hold that Shema needs to be said when you go to sleep. That's how I would argue is, you know, the simplest way of reading the Mishnah and the debate between the two things. If you're looking for the source of what are they really disagreeing about, They're really disagreeing about what obligates one in the Shema at night. Is it B'shach B'cha? Is that the featured pasuk? Is that really the one that we're going on? B'shach B'cha, when people go to sleep? That's, you know, perhaps that's until 4 hours and until 10 o'clock. Or perhaps that's until, because the night starts at 6 o'clock approximately, so until 10 o'clock. Or is that until midnight? But Rabban Gamliel says, no, it's Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Echad. All night long is the proper time for Shema. Well, that's a different thing. The bedtime Shema has nothing to do with this. No. This is the mitzvah Shema. Bedtime Shema, we'll learn later, was instituted to ward off the demons. But it's not the fulfilled, except for Rashi. Rashi says that that's fulfilled the mitzvah. But everybody else says it's just to ward off the demons. Okay. In the short time that we have left, which we don't really have left, so I'll tell you what they say. I included here three very interesting opinions, which are unbelievable. we are generally taught to believe that there are these specific hours that one must say Shema. And, you know, in many shuls they announce after Marav, oh, don't forget to repeat the Shema. Don't forget to, at Shabbos morning, if you look at some shuls, they include in the thing, the latest time for Shema is this time. Make sure to say Shema before this time. So that really wasn't the case in most communities for for a long, long time. They said Shema early at night, and they said Shema late in the morning. And the rabbis tried to figure out ways to be melamed tzchus, it's called, to explain, to justify the communal practice. So I have here three examples. Is everyone okay if we go about 5 or 6 minutes over? Is that okay with most people? Okay. It's really worth reading this. Page 5. Page 5 is the Mishkanos Yaakov. The Mishkanos Yaakov is Rabbi Yaakov Bruchin, who was the rabbi of the city of Karlin. He was a student of the Ksav Sofer, who's the son of the Chasam Sofer in Hungary. Okay. Ra'iti, look where I put the arrow. Ra'iti v'natuna libi. Ulai yesh l'mtso zchut. Al masam hu oda me'acharim yoter bakayetz. Aderach shmona sha'ot, 11 ha'shaw sanikra zeger. What's a zeger? Anybody? Yiddish. The clock. So he says, I have to figure out a zchus for all the people that in the morning, they don't say Shema until 8 o'clock in the morning, according to the clock, meaning not according to halachic times, but 8 o'clock on the clock, which is after the latest time to say Shema, at least in Hungary at a certain point of the year. What is their justification for saying it later? Asher be'erech zeh, Afim nachsho, so I'll just skip a little bit. Basically, what the Mishkanos Yaakov says, he goes into a lot of detail about different opinions of the times, and he shows how, according to any opinion of halachic times, 8 o'clock is too late to say Shema. There's no way you could say that, based on traditional halacha, that you could say Shema at 8 o'clock. Not, for us, most of the year, we could say Shema at 8 o'clock, but for some of the year in Hungary, I guess 8 o'clock was too late. He says that perhaps based on if you look at that paragraph, four lines up from the bottom of the paragraph, the first word in the line is Vizman, the first, towards the end of that line, V'yesh lomar, Shemishtane hazman baze, Kevan, Shelo talinan b'midayom u'b'midalayla, Rak b'shkiva, Uvakima. He says, going on our distinction of, do you depend on the night and day definitions, or do you depend on going to sleep and getting up? He says that no. He says that we paskin that you go with b'shach b'chav kumecha, that the proper times for Shema are defined by what time you go to sleep and what time you get up. And therefore, in countries where the day is much longer than the night for a certain part of the year, then Shema can be said early at night. Because nobody, you know, in Northern Europe, in the summer, it's daylight until midnight. So says, you don't have to, Mishkanos Yaakov says, you don't obligate people to stay up so late to say Shema. Rather, even though it's still broad daylight outside, it's still B'shachbecha. It's still the time for going to sleep. And so the Mishkanos Yaakov says that that's, he says that, you know, you wouldn't do this L'chatchila. The Mishkanos Yaakov says if you really want to be frum, you should get up later and, you know, say Shema again. But a limud zchus, the way to justify the practice, is that that those times were only set for basically around the equator, for times in Israel and Babylonia. But really, the time at night can be much earlier, and so too the time in the morning can be much later. People aren't getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to say Shema, but people generally get up at 8 o'clock, then that becomes the proper time to say Shema. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says basically the same thing. That's the last page, at the very back. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld was the founding head of the Eidah Haredis in Israel, which came in opposition to the chief rabbinate. When in Palestine, they established the chief rabbinate with Rav Kook at its helm, the Haredim, the anti-Zionist group, formed their own group, and it still exists today, the Eidah Haredis. You'll see they have hashgacha on some foods that come from Israel, but that's Eidah Haredis. That's the Haredi Beit Din Hechsher on the food. So he was the first chief rabbi of the Haredim in Israel, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. It's funny, he actually had a close personal relationship with Rav Kook, but if you were just reading all the journals and everything, you'd think they hated each other, because they really disagreed on these issues. But they had a relationship and they traveled together and everything. Okay, look at the last page. Page 7, the paragraph. V'lo emnami le'orer be'ikara davar. Since the Torah itself said that it depended on the time you go to sleep, the time that you wake up. The Torah never officially said a time. If the general population, because of our weakness, begins to wake up at later times, nowadays, everybody goes to sleep later, they sleep more, and they wake up later. You could say that biblically, they really are still obligated to say Shema even when they wake up later. He's talking about the brachos. How can you say, you know, what happens if you wake up too late to say Shema? Can you say that? Can you still daven and save your coat kriyat Shema, the brachos about the Shema, if it's no longer really the time for Shema, a mitzvah to say Shema? You can still say Shema all day long if you want, because it's just reading psukim. But can you say the brachos that's around the Shema if it's too late? Just like, you know, if you didn't shake lulav on sukkahs, you can't just, you know, 3 weeks later shake lulav and say a bracha. It doesn't work that way. It's too late. Did you miss your opportunity? So he says, no, you can still say the brachos even if you wake up too late, because mido raisa, the only obligation of Shema is b'shoch b'cha of kumecha. So when people wake up, that's when you're obligated to say Shema. So you can still say it with the brachos. And even more, in my opinion, astounding, is, it's a little bit complicated for you, but on page 6 is the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is the same person who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo. And he says, he asks the question, that there's a strange inconsistency between the definition of nighttime Shema and the definition of daytime Shema. At night, we say you could say Shema until dawn, because B'shach B'cha, according to, we paskin like Rabban Gamliel, by the way. We agree. We paskin like Rabban Gamliel, you can say Shema until dawn, all night long. So, if so, we really paskin that B'shach B'cha means the time that everybody's asleep. Right? Whenever everybody's asleep. That's what Rashi said. Or at least the definition of night. Why don't we say the same thing for the Shema during the day? That really the obligation of Shema is whenever people are awake. Not the time that people are waking up. Right? Rabban Gamliel says, B'shach B'cha, according to Rashi, B'shach B'cha means the time that people are asleep. Not the time that people are going to sleep, but the time that people are asleep. So, by that logic, B'kumecha should mean the time that people are awake. all day long, not just the first couple hours of the day. The Kesef Mishnah says, that's right. You could say Shema all day long and you fulfill the mitzvah of Shema Midoraisa. It's an amazing statement. Everybody, nobody thinks that. Everybody thinks that, you know, you have to say Shema by a certain hour. But the Kesef Mishnah says that biblically, the mitzvah of Shema counts all day long because people are awake all day and the definition of day continues all day long. So, you know, just to sum up the shiur today, we looked at two ways of viewing the proper time to say Shema as reflected in two verses in the Torah. The Shach Becha of Kumecha or Vayi Erev Vayi Bokir Yom Mechad. One of them says that Shema is defined by the time that people go to sleep and the time that people wake up. One of them says that the time for Shema is defined by the astronomical time of night and day. We then saw in the very end of the shiur, we didn't really view them inside. I guess we spent a lot of time on the first opinions. But we saw three justifications of cognitive practice of reciting Shema very early at night or reciting Shema late, especially on Shabbos morning. You know, most shuls in America on Shabbos don't get the Shema by the proper time to say Shema. We don't get the Shema by the proper time to say Shema. But according to the Mishkanos Yaakov and the Kesef Mishnah and Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, those times can be extended. And because sociological realities have changed, most people get up at later times. Perhaps one can say that the proper time for Shema has changed as well. All three of these say that these are, you know, post-facto justifications, that l'chatchila, one ought to say Shema at the proper time according to the standard halacha. But justifications for communal practice, that's what these three rabbis offer. Okay. We will...